talking about the things that matter most to you. Today's Catholic Women. Catholic Women Now with Julie Nelson and Chris Magruder is underwritten by Fred Haas. Over 30 years helping injured Iowans recover losses from accidents and work-related injuries. Fred Double D, Haas Double A. Learning RX, finding the right solution to give your child a foundation that can last a lifetime. And Farm Bureau agent Cindy Schulte, a licensed representative of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Iowa. CindySchulte.com.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us today on this beautiful day. It's like a January thaw.
Yeah, it is.
Except we don't have any snow to thaw.
Here comes the warmth, but the ice is moving, so that's good.
That is.
At least off the roads.
Well, we have a great show today, as always, like we think here on Catholic Women Now. But we have Emily Schmid. She's the Adult Faith Formation Director at St. Pius X Catholic Church in Urbandale, Iowa. She'll be joining us a little bit later to talk about an exciting program that I find exciting for some things for my life to help bring people back to the Catholic faith. And I'm just going to leave that little tease out there so you'll want to listen to some ideas out there.
There are a lot of people that are moving that way right now.
Yeah.
It's an important piece.
The Holy Spirit's on the move. I can feel it.
Holy smokes. Holy Spirit. Here we go.
There you go.
You know what? The Holy Mass and the Eucharist, there's a movement, and we're part of that.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah, there's a lot of great things going on.
There are.
Well, should we open with prayer?
Let's do.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, speaking of a lot going on,
we got the inauguration coming up.
And
then one other thing I was going to mention to you today, Chris, too, is that there's this march on Washington for Women this weekend. Have you been following this?
Just a little bit. I was hearing Teresa Tamayo talking about
it's supposed to be for women, and then the feminist, what is that, New Wave feminists were accepted to march with them, and then they found out the New Wave feminists were pro-life, and they said, no, you can't come and march with us. I know. So
how are they going to vet people to not get them, not allow them to be a part of it?
The question is the feminism they're talking about is the pro-choice feminism.
Right.
It's not the true feminism of honoring women and who they are. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there was a funny meme going around on Facebook this morning. My my daughter, I posted it. My daughter goes, Mom, it's from Mean Girls. And you know when the three girls are sitting at the table in the lunchroom and they say, you can't sit with us?
Well, I never saw that movie. I don't know what you're talking about.
There's three girls. The three mean girls are sitting at the table in the lunchroom, and they'll say to the other girl, they go, you can't sit with us. It's Wednesday. You can't sit with us or whatever.
Well, that just sounds like real life in the lunchroom.
So the New Wave feminist put one out and said, you can't march with us. It was just very clever.
Oh, that's good.
But it earned me a cool mom star this morning with my daughter, so I'm excited about that.
But, you know, there are a lot of, you know, I'm going out to the East Coast this weekend for a wedding. And so, you know, there are all these little anxieties, I think, that people are feeling around.
There's
a lot of little fears.
Unsettling because of a change in presidency and the way the elections went. Well, there's a lot of
little threats.
Fear.
Yeah.
But we want to just kind of speak a few words about fear and how to put that in place with our faith. Our fears have reasonable foundations, but we have to remember, too, that faith is the antidote to fear.
Absolutely. I've read a few books on that just because, you know, there are different times in your life where you go through anxiety. You know, either you're worried about your kids when they're little, or you're worried about, you know, somebody or something or your own self, whether it be health issues or travel issues or whatever it is. You know, having enough money in the bank, all of those kinds of things are always there. But you know, like you said, faith is the antidote, and it kind of sees, you know, there are fears that are logical. But the thing is faith believes in what God can do, which looks impossible many times, you know. And faith tells you that, you know, life is good, and even when it's not, God's there beside you walking. He says, I will be with you.
Well, and the thing is, faith is not irrational. I think sometimes people think, oh, it's just kind of this lofty thing idea. But a person of faith sees the logic, the impossibility, and accepts the pain that comes along with it. And a person of faith is not naive. I think that's kind of an important point, too.
There's realism in it.
But the person sees the reality, accepts it, and knows that God is in charge. And God is in charge. He's looking down here, and he sees what's going on here. And we have to remember that. We have to remember that.
Yep.
And a loving God believes with all of us in our heart that God is God is a God of the impossible.
Well, you know, and you and I always talk about, unless you're willing to do the ridiculous, God will not do the miraculous, with our our veil removed project many times. You know, sometimes we think, oh, people got to think this is ridiculous. But unless you're willing to do that, God will not do the miraculous. I think that falls right into the sometimes faith believes, you know, in what seems impossible.
Right.
You know, that's where miracles come from.
We know that all is possible with God, and faith believes in the absurd because we know God.
Right. Well, and you know what? Faith allows things to be simplified many times too. It just, you know, it creates peace, I think, is what it can do when you have faith. You know, when you're doing something difficult. So, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, we hope that helps you as we go into this weekend here.
Well, it helps me.
Well, that's good. Well, we got one person that we're helping. That's great.
Check me off.
You might be the only one listening to me today, too, Chris.
Well, I think we've got three other listeners out there. I do.
Well, Catholic Women Now is grateful for Cindy Schulte, Farm Bureau Financial Services. Cindy has been in the insurance industry for 28 years, and we've met with her, and she's just a delightful woman. She listens to Iowa Catholic Radio, which was great to hear that she's a supporter in so many different ways, not only of our show, but in supporting and listenership, too. And Cindy and her team offers a full range of financial services, annuities, health insurance, retirement funding, mutual funds. And you know, one thing that impressed me about Cindy is she's very genuine and authentic, and she wants to get to know the client, and she gets to know your needs, your life. And so that better helps her to better serve you the financial assistance you need in planning for your future.
It's so easy to sit around the coffee table with her, which she will, I think, in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we're going to try to get her on the show and introduce her to all of you out there listening.
Yeah.
So Cindy Schulte, Farm Bureau Financial Services. She's located in West Des Moines, 515-226-2111, cindyschulte.com. Well, Chris, have you often thought about, you meet somebody and you think, golly, I'd like to invite them to something that will help them in their faith, but a Bible study is a little too much.
Comes off a little too...
It's too strong. Yep. You know, got to go there every week. And some people don't feel like they maybe have the knowledge that they should be going to a Bible study, or thinking, oh, everybody's going to know so much more than me and I won't feel comfortable, or I'll be like, you know... But you want to invite them to something at a church that will bring them in and welcome them in.
Absolutely. Many times in my life. And, you know, you kind of worry about being a holy roller sometimes
when you
invite them to a Bible
strong.
Study. And
right.
I've done that before, Julie. Done that.
I think we've all made that, you know, learned that the hard way. I mean, we can be pretty uber Catholic sometimes. So anyway, but we have with us today Emily Schmidt. She's the Adult Faith Formation Director at St. Pius X Church in Urbandale to talk about a program they've started there called Christ's Life. Emily, welcome.
It's so fun to have you.
Thank
in
you.
She's here
really
with us.
Excited to be here.
Smiley face. You can tell you have so much joy. You can tell you're excited to talk about this.
And absolutely. Her youth definitely comes out.
The energy of youth.
It does.
Yes.
It does. Go ahead, Julie.
But just tell us a little bit, what is Christ's Life, the overall picture of Christ's Life?
Christ Life is a program that comes out of Baltimore, Archdiocese of Baltimore, and that was created in the mid-90s as a response to the call for new evangelization. So through three seven-week session programs, we take people from learning the basic kerygma, the basic gospel message of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done for us, and God's plan for salvation, through what it looks like to be a disciple, and also what it looks like to evangelize, and how God calls us each individually to evangelize with our specific gifts.
So the person who is out there that doesn't know Jesus, and we know that there surprisingly are still people out there who don't know Jesus, can come in off the street and just learn the basics.
Yes.
From the beginning.
The very first session is like a Jesus 101.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what's my life? What's my purpose of life? And where does Jesus fit in with that purpose?
So nobody's going to feel uncomfortable.
No.
But then it sounds like it progresses.
Yeah.
So that's the first 7 weeks. And then it progresses. There are two more 7 week sessions where people who are further in their faith or further in their journey, know more, are going to be able to glean a lot.
What is the second then 7 weeks focus on?
The second 7 weeks is called Following Christ. And Following Christ is about discipleship. So once I've gone through discovering Christ and accepted the basic gospel message and said, yes, I want to follow this. And again, depending on where you are in your faith, some people will leave discovering Christ ready for RCIA mm-hmm. because they probably, maybe they're not in union with the church or they have some extra steps to go. But for some Catholics that maybe were just, maybe they've just taken a break from their faith and they've come back. And
or maybe they weren't well catechized.
Yeah, maybe they weren't. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Then, okay, now I get it. I'm ready to move forward. And now I'll go into following Christ and learn what it is to be a disciple.
So what you're saying is I can go for 7 weeks and be done and realize, okay, I'm just not ready for the next step.
Yes.
I got to take in and digest what I just learned for the first 7 weeks. Can they come back maybe next year and start at the second 7 week session?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. And that's what's really wonderful about Christ's life is it really works with people in their journey where they are.
Love that.
It's not about learning as much as possible. It's not about even as praying as much as possible. It's about a good, even balance of both prayer and intellectual formation and spiritual formation to get a person to the next level in their faith, whether that's just getting to know Jesus or maybe you've known Jesus and Jesus just wants you to learn more about him.
Okay, so then what is the third 7 weeks? What's the focus of that 7 weeks?
The third 7 weeks is called Sharing Christ, and that is through all about evangelization. So it takes you through a program that equips you to be an evangelizer. And some people hear that word and they get scared
because it's kind of scary.
They think, I have to knock on the door
of
my neighbors.
I think of somebody standing on a soapbox in the street corner.
Repent.
But, Jesus freak.
Exactly. But that's not at all what we mean by evangelize. So some people are called to that. There are people who feel very comfortable, like talking to their next door neighbor or going and talking to a stranger about Jesus. But for many of us, it's really going to be the people we encounter day to day. I know, you know, the people you work with, the people you meet at the grocery store every week, you know, those people, mm-hmm. those people that you seem to meet every week and you form that relationship with them. And then Jesus, you kind of feel a little prompting in your heart to just talk to them and say, you know, do you know Jesus? Or we're having this event at church and I really feel called to invite you. And maybe they say no and that's fine, but maybe they say yes. And then you never know where that takes them.
So tell us, is it the Catholic component in all this? How do you bring in the Catholic faith with all this? Like the sacraments and a little bit of the teaching. I mean, like Jesus 101 is pretty basic, mm-hmm. but how do you bring Catholicism into that?
So what I love about Christ's life, even without really saying and having a big Catholic sign, it uses a lot of Catholic content. For instance, a lot of quotes by John Paul II and other saints that we love and know. And also at the end of Discovering Christ, one of the components they talk about is the importance of the church and community and why it's important that our relationship not only is personal, but it's also communal. It's that both and that we love so much about the Catholic faith. And it goes into talking about the sacraments that the church offers. Now, in Discovering Christ, sacraments aren't so much emphasized, but they are emphasized in the discipleship 7 weeks and just how the sacraments help us to become
part of that
strong
community and then union.
And so you're, I assume, using scripture, capital T tradition of the Catholic Church. Do you use the catechism as well?
So far, not the catechism in Discovering Christ. Later on, we will. But again, the Discovering Christ, the first one, we want to kind of give a little even playing field. And so we haven't broken out the catechism.
So within those different 7 week sessions, it does come into play?
I believe so. Yeah.
Oh, great.
I can't say for sure as we haven't like gone through the whole thing yet.
So you were in the initial stages here at St. Pius and you put together a team of people that have gone through the first module, so to speak. So these people that have gone through it are probably more of the Catholics who are going to do the Bible studies and been part of that. So what have they received anything from this being on that part of the continuum in their faith?
Yes.
And what kind of things have ha-ha moments they've experienced?
It was really neat to see everyone's reactions at the very end and kind of going processing through it. And a simple statement that was made from one lady was, you know, Jesus is just more a central part of my day. Another guy talked about Jesus is back in my passenger seat. He drives a lot for work, and how in he goes, well, Jesus was in my passenger seat, but then I moved him back to the back seat. And I wasn't really talking to him, or maybe I'd listen a little bit. Well, then finally he was out of the car. Now, after going through discovering Christ, he's back in my passenger seat. And he's like, I'm talking with him throughout my day, and he's there. So I think the common theme is that, you know, and I fall victim to this too. So often Jesus, we can kind of push Jesus aside in our day, even with good intentions of keeping him at the center, we can kind of push him out. But discovering Christ really helped our team put him back in the center and focus their lives around Jesus.
This is Catholic Women Now. We're speaking with Emily Schmidt about the Christ Life program at St. Pius X Catholic Church. When you were talking about the passenger, putting Jesus up in the passenger seat, I was thinking of Sherry Waddell's book, Forming Intentional Disciples. And her research, I mean, she interviewed a lot of people who are very active. And I think Matthew Kelly says like 7% of the people in the church doing the 93% of the work or 100% of the work or efforts. But it was really striking is she would find people were serving, but they didn't really know why, and they really didn't know Jesus. They knew they had this call to serve, and that kind of speaks to that when you're talking about that. But she talks about discipleship, and I know you get into that with this program, like you said, but I want to know, what is the difference between, and how does Christ's Life help this, forming an intentional disciple versus being a disciple?
I describe an intentional disciple as someone who lives on purpose for Jesus and on purpose keeps Jesus at the center of their life. And I try to do that myself and try to be an intentional disciple. My big example is on Sundays going to Mass, that an intentional disciple schedules Mass and then everything is around that. So if something comes up, oh, nope. Mass is first.
Mass
is the priority. You know, and then through the week, I think an intentional disciple, you know, and it looks different for different people. But for myself personally, I get up and I pray every morning. I try to. And that's the first thing I do. And I don't move that. And being really intentional about not moving that and doing that on purpose. And even in the way that I interact with people throughout my day as an intentional disciple, I'm purposefully in my mind thinking, what would Jesus do? That old saying, you know, what would Jesus do? And at first, I think being an intentional disciple, it's a lot of hard work. But as you get practiced in it, it becomes easier and easier because it just becomes a habit then, or as we would say, a virtue,
right.
You know,
virtue.
A good habit.
First the habit, then
yeah.
the virtue, right?
yep, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious about, so is this only for St. Pius members, or can somebody from, say, example, my parish is St. Francis, could I hop over at for the second session?
You know, yes, we are opening this up to our community as well as just St. Pius. We do obviously a majority of our marketing at St. Pius because we really want to get our parish on fire, but we have sent stuff out to other parishes. And we have had a couple parishes send some people over, especially some, I don't want to, you know, say names because I want to respect
Absolutely.
Where they are
right.
in their process, but we do have some parishes that have sent people over to go through Discovering Christ with maybe bringing that back to their parish.
I have another question. So when you do your sessions, you have small groups and you have small group facilitators. So those small groups stay the same through the whole session? It's the same group together?
Yes.
And now, is this something you're hoping to see that will form all these little small groups so people will find community within a larger community? Is that the kind of...
Yeah.
I'm asking, you know, I see that happen in other churches, and I'm just curious to know if this is something that... A goal that you're hoping for with the Christ Life at St. Pius.
Yeah, and that is a huge... part of the Christ Life is those small groups because you go through with the same people throughout the entire 7 weeks. They will change though with each different session. But yeah, for one session, you're with the same seven people and that, yeah, with the hope that maybe you'll form that little community, even if it's just with a couple other people, that will then get you involved in the parish at large within, if not within the same group of people, but maybe one or two of them will go to a Bible study or start something different.
Right.
So yeah, forming those little discipleship groups that then will continue to grow and flourish the parish and the community.
Now, you mentioned the other day you have someone who does hospitality.
Yeah.
So is that how does that fit into this program as far as
it's
part of the
so
mission?
It's so big. We want everyone who comes in to really feel like they're the most important person on the face of this earth, because Jesus would look at them as mm-hmm. that way. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so when they walked in, last week was our first session last Thursday. When they walked in, we greeted them at a table, gave them a name tag, and then we had someone at the door who individually took them to their table and introduced them to their small group leader. And then the small group leader then could introduce them to others. And we had a little bit of a social time so people could get to know each other before dinner started. And then we have a whole crew of people that they set the night up, they set dinner out, they clean up, they serve water, serve coffee if needed. Because we don't want people to come and feel like they have to do anything. We had people, like participants, ask, can I help clean up? You know what? Nope. This is for you. We're doing this for you. This is, you know, you can next time hopefully join our team and you can do this for the next group. But right now, we just want you to feel at home and just
have them feel loved.
Amen.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. That's great. Well, this is Emily Schmidt we're talking with from St. Pius, talking about the Christ Life Program. If somebody wants to find out information and talk to you directly, how can they reach you, Emily?
Well, I'm going to first take you to our website. So it's stpiushome.org/Christ Life. And that is going to give you so much information on the Christ Life Program at St. Pius. So stpiushome.org/Christ Life. You can also go on our website and find my email, eschmidt@stpiuschurch.org. There's so many words in my email address.
And remember, St. Pius.
And they can call the office.
St. Pius the 10th.
Yeah, St. Pius the 10th in Urbandale. You can email me. You can call me. And actually, our whole staff, they know what's going on. So you could just call the office and ask for more information, and they'll hook you up with the right stuff.
And we know a few people over there. They're always so
absolutely.
Good people.
Well, Emily, thank you so much for joining us today and telling us all about this great program. And
thank you.
Keep up the good work for Jesus, okay?
Oh, thank you.
Amen to that. Wow.
Well, you're listening to Catholic Women Now here on Iowa Catholic Radio, 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM. Streaming live at iowacatholicradio.com, where we post our podcasts of our show. And we're here in the Mercy Live Up studio, and we have the Iowa Catholic Radio app, which is free. And I think the other day I heard we have over 1,000 downloads of that app out there. So maybe you're listening today from the app.
Little reminder to all of you women out there who want to come to the Iowa Catholic Women's Conference, Iowa Catholic Radio Women's Conference in February. Get online at iowacatholicradio.com and register. Join us. We've got amazing speakers, Father Cedric, Barbara Heil, Andy Lavallee. They're all going to be there. And
They'll all be on our show next month,
I would pay $30 to hear just one of those
speakers. Invite a friend. Invite your daughter. Invite your mother. Invite your aunt. Just, you know, neighbor. This is one of those great opportunities to bring somebody together and introduce them to, it's the theme of the Holy Spirit, which is exciting.
Yeah, and as well.
Emily's excited about it. She's over there shaking her. She'll be there.
As well, the night before on Friday night, we can invite our husbands to
join us.
Yes,
they're
going to
be,
yes,
Father Cedric is going to speak on Friday night to all groups, So
it's going to be fabulous. You got to be there.
We'll
be there.
We'll be there. So come
on
there.
Say
hi to us. We love to meet new friends.
Come take a Facebook photo with us so Julie can put it on our Facebook.
That would be fun. That'd be fabulous.
Yeah.
Any way to get on Facebook, huh? Well, this is the 100th anniversary year of Fatima.
I know.
2017.
You're kind of wondering what big miraculous things are going to happen since 100 years ago happened.
Pope Francis has granted this an opportunity to get some indulgences throughout this Jubilee year. And the director of the Fatima Shrine in Portugal has explained to Catholic News Agency three ways in which we can get an indulgence.
Plenary indulgence.
Plenary. Thank you.
Actually,
plenary
indulgence. Yeah. And, you know, to obtain the plenary indulgence, the faithful has to do the ordinary conditions when you're looking to do a plenary indulgence. Go to confession, receive communion, and, of course, be detached from sin, and then also pray for the intentions of Pope Francis, our Holy Father. That's where we always start with a plenary indulgence. But there's three different ways if you're looking to maybe receive a plenary indulgence during this 100th anniversary of Fatima. And the first one is to make a pilgrimage to Portugal and go to Fatima.
And we're going
to
do that. Right?
Okay. Yes, that's good news. I didn't know that.
That would be fun. I wonder if we can organize a pilgrimage.
Will you
tour.
Will you pay for my plane ticket?
Sure. But if you can't go to Portugal, which most of us can't, you can go to another shrine locally. And
as well
to Our Lady of Fatima.
And when you go, you know, you're required to say in Our Father, the Creed, mm-hmm. and invoke Mary's intercession as well.
And like we said, we can do this before, pray before any statue of Our Lady of Fatima. I have Our Lady of Fatima in my bedroom. I have a statue of her.
That's the second way to mm-hmm. do it, right? Mm-hmm. And then the third one is to, for anybody that's, you know, infirm or they're elderly and they can't get out, they can also, you know, say the Our Father and the Creed. But then they are asked to offer up their sacrifices and their sufferings and their own prayers from where they are.
Yes, and if they can do that in front of a statue of Our Lady of Fatima, that's all the better as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. Or yeah. just, for them, it can be just in front of a statue of Mary as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of exciting. And we did a show on Fatima a few months back, and it was fascinating to revisit the history. It was based on a book by Father Apostoli. If you ever want to learn more, that's a great book
Pope Francis is doing us, a lot. He's given us a lot of opportunities for those indulgences
mercy.
Each year, it seems.
He's mercy.
It continues. It continues.
The mercy continues, yes.
It does.
Wisdom of Women.
Proverbs 31:26. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and on her tongue is kindly counsel.
Well, our wisdom today is very simple, which I like, especially as the next days unfold. We need to keep a simple thing in our mind, and it's from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Or in other words, worry ends where faith begins. I love that. Worry ends where faith begins.
And that's easier said than done.
Oh, absolutely.
It's something we have to practice.
It certainly is, yeah. But it's possible. It's possible. It's
everything's possible with God.
That's right.
Well, thank you to Fred J. Haas Law Offices. He's an experienced Iowa attorney of at least 35 years of legal experience. He's a personal injury, workers' comp, and medical malpractice lawyer. If you've been injured, he's an attorney that you can choose, and that he'll have a tremendous effect on the outcome of your case. You don't have to hire an attorney who merely dabbles in injury-based cases. At his firm, he represents people through the duration of the case, and he's a man of great wisdom, not just in law,
but
also
in
faith and in life.
Yeah,
yeah, we love that about him.
He really brings the true meaning of counsel to being a counselor of law.
He understands that.
Yes,
he does. 515-256-6301. FredHaas.com. That's Fred double D, Haas double A .com.
Well, as always, this half hour flew by. This
always.
Is the concluding our show here in Catholic Women Now in the Mercy Live Up studio. Thanks for joining us this morning with your cup of coffee or tea or whatever you like to drink in the morning. And the Iowa Catholic Rosary is up next. Let's close with prayer.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for a beautiful day in this January thaw, as Julie said. We ask that you help us to be intentional disciples. We ask that you help us to walk with you in faith and not allow those things around us that can scare us a bit, but to put your angels around us, protect us, and help us to know that you are there. We ask this all in your Holy Son, Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Now go do impossible things for God.
Talking about the things that matter most to you. Today's Catholic Women. Catholic Women Now with Julie Nelson and Chris Magruder is underwritten by Fred Haas. Over 30 years helping injured Iowans recover losses from accidents and work-related injuries. Fred double D, Haas double A. Learning RX, finding the right solution to give your child a foundation that can last a lifetime. And Farm Bureau agent Cindy Schulte, a licensed representative of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Iowa. CindySchulte.com. Catholic Women Now with Julie Nelson and Chris Magruder. Every Thursday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on the radio voice for Catholic Women Now. 1150 a.m., 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM, Iowa Catholic Radio.